We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart. That's just the sad reality. Not everybody's perfect like us.
Mac and Hart, right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Would people be more excited to start the Patriots season with Tom Brady as quarterback or Cam Newton?
I can't believe you saved it for the last 15 minutes. It's not a terrible question. It's actually a very good question.
I mean,
damn it.
I mean,
don't answer.
Wait a minute. Don't answer.
I would have saved this for tomorrow with that other guy.
With Brian Blaisdell tomorrow. No Mock and Hot. See you tomorrow with Brian. Kind of screwed up that name, didn't I?
Yeah, it's all right.
I don't know who Brian Blaisdell is, by the way. I think he's somebody. The name sounds familiar to me. That's why I used it. But I thought it was a pretty lousy question. But apparently, Andy Hart thought it was a good question. So screw it. We're going to use it all this morning.
Yeah, Brian Barrett and Greg Dickerson with you.
Barrett.
Yeah,
that's
Barrett. Yeah, you were close. I mean, you got the two B's. You got the two B's, so I'll give you credit for that. By the way, happy 4th of July. It doesn't feel like it at all, does it? I mean,
oh, God, no. It doesn't.
What we're going through and then the weather today, it's horrible out.
What's it supposed to be like the rest of today? Is it supposed to be crappy or?
Mid-60s and foggy, it looks like. It's just not going to be a good 4th of July. Not that we expected it to be that with everything going on with the coronavirus, but it's definitely not going to be now.
See, I'm just selfish because I was invited to a cookout pool party that I don't want to go to, but the rest of my family wants to go to. So if it's nice out, they go, I stay home.
So this actually may be a good 4th of July, too, because if some of the rain comes through, you can avoid the cookout.
No. I'm not going to the cookout.
Oh, no matter
what.
Oh, God, no. So if it rains.
Me socialize? No, I don't want to socialize with people. No,
so
no,
then if
no
it
whatsoever.
Rains, it would really hurt you.
Exactly. I would like it to be halfway decent out so that they get the hell out of the house for like 6 hours and I'm just home watching golf doing nothing.
Yeah, so you posed the question, so we'll throw it back out there in terms of, would the team be more interesting with Cam Newton in 2020 or Tom Brady in 2020? 617-779-7937 if you want to join us. And to answer your question right away, I'm on the side of Cam Newton because if you look at Tom Brady, the last year, he was miserable. We can go through the laundry list of things, the most miserable 8-0 quarterback of all time. And not to mention the fact that his production dipped off through the second half of the season. It's not as if he's got a ton of weapons to go along with. So bringing in somebody that is a totally different type of player. I would say that the Patriots are more interesting now that Newton's here, because what we'll be discussing right now, if Tom Brady was here, what are they going to do for the weapons? Who are they going to get Tom Brady in terms of who's he throwing the football to? We would still have the same problems we had at the end of last year. And instead of that, we're talking about Cam Newton and what Belichick and McDaniels are going to do for this offense.
I thought it was going to be slightly more interesting with Jarrett Stidham as your quarterback because of the unknown factor. Not that there wasn't an unknown factor with a 43-year-old quarterback in Tom Brady, but he kind of lost me last year. And listen, Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen.
Don't you feel like you have to say that now, Greg, every time you bring up Tom Brady? If you say something negative, you have to say, hey, he was the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yes.
Like, you got to make sure you get that in.
Yes. But he lost me last year and the last few years, the whole 8-0 thing with Al Michaels, the most miserable 8-0 quarterback. Tom Brady became very pretentious. He became a very, I don't want to say unlikable, because he's not unlikable with the way that he works and the way that he plays and the way that he goes about his business. But he became not unlikable, but unrelatable. Not that half the professional athletes in the world are relatable to any of us, but there was a point in time where you looked at Tom Brady and you said, look at that fat-ass, doughy little son of a bitch. Looks like the rest of us, you know, during his combine photo. And look at what he's turned out to be. He was relatable. He was the ultimate underdog. And now look at what he's turned out to be.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, if you look at the pictures from when he came into the NFL, his face looks completely different from what it looks like today. But getting back to your point about Brady, and the other element I would say in terms of when he started to lose people is just it felt like, in my mind, there was a role reversal.
Well, did he
year.
Lose? Do you really think he lost people? When well, you say felt, he lost people, what do
well,
you mean?
I felt like during the season, I should say, that most people were basically siding with Brady. But right. after he left, that's when people now were saying all this stuff about what happened, the OTAs, et cetera. But one thing I noticed during the season, and I mentioned this, is if you looked at Brady and Belichick, it was like their roles were reversed. Belichick at the podium last year, because he was coaching a team he liked built around the defense, it seemed like he was, for the first time, jovial at the podium. And Brady, who has notoriously been the prince of positivity throughout his NFL career, he's always positive, right? He was negative the whole time, every time he went up there. I remember there was one game, it was against, I believe, the Philadelphia Eagles, and Rob Gronkowski's doing broadcast work for Fox, which didn't go swimmingly for Gronk, but he said that, smile, Tom, you won. So it just felt like there was this negative energy with Tom Brady all season long. And I know a lot of that had to do with the contract, but it's almost as if for the first time he couldn't put that away. He couldn't stop thinking about the contract to the point where it carried over. And he mentioned the fact that he doesn't want to expend his mental energy on the young players. He doesn't want to think about guys. Well, I'm sorry that you aren't happy with your contract, but that's part of the job.
And by the way, there were a lot of first-round wide receivers last year who performed great for veteran quarterbacks. Go out to a place like Seattle. Why am I blanking on his
DK
name?
Metcalf.
DK yeah. Metcalf with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson seemed to be just fine with a rookie wide receiver that he had a tutor and mentor. So to go back to the original question, I think that there are a lot more I don't know about questions, but I think things become much more interesting with Cam Newton as opposed to Tom Brady as your starting quarterback. And that's why I asked the question at the end of the show yesterday, because Tom Brady is still Tom Brady. I mean, I could have watched Tom Brady until he was 49 and being pushed on a wheelchair on the field, but now that you enter in the Cam Newton element, you now look and you say, we've never seen this type of quarterback before. We've never seen this type of quarterback that can move, that can run, that can change the offense. We've been so used to three steps, throw the football, maybe a run, you get 3 yards with Tom Brady. It looks painful when he runs 5 yards. It's a totally different world that we're looking at with a guy like Cam Newton.
Brian Barrett and Greg Dickerson with you up until 1 o'clock. So, yeah, you mentioned that. And one of the things I would look at with Cam Newton is the biggest question mark was the injuries. But when Cam Newton was healthy at the beginning of the 2018 season, if you go back to week 10 or week 11 or so when he was injured against the Steelers, and then he wasn't the same guy after that. Right. That season, he had his highest completion percentage. And if you look at it, the team was averaging like 27 points per game. So the last time he was actually healthy on a football field, he was really good, because last year he wasn't. And his last 4 seasons healthy in Carolina, 3 of those 4 seasons, they're top 5 in rushing. So to your point about it being more interesting, we've never seen Belichick and McDaniels have this type of player. And I remember back to a couple of seasons ago when the Patriots in 2016 had no Tom Brady to begin the year. And Garoppolo's offense, it was similar to Brady's, but it was different. They were rolling him out a little bit, et cetera. But then when Jacoby Brissett comes in, and they had 3 days to game plan on a short week against the Houston Texans, the offense looks completely different. It took them 3 days to do that. So imagine what they're going to be able to do with Cam Newton, who, oh, by the way, Belichick hasn't been able to stop in his NFL career. Newton's 2-0.
Here's my only issue with the Cam Newton love fest, and trust me, I'm all over it, because I love guys who are playing for a contract, and he's obviously playing for a huge contract. The guys he's throwing the football to are the same bag of suck that Tom Brady was throwing the football to last year. That's what concerns me. Now, is it different? Because as you say, Tom Brady was, you know, N'Keal Harry, son, just step over there. We don't, I'm not really paying much attention to. I'm throwing to Julian Edelman over here.
Yeah, he literally threw him out of the huddle last year. Remember
right.
that?
Yeah. And the same thing with Jacoby Myers. It's like, you were a fun little story during training camp. Now it's the regular season. I have no use for you. So I don't know whether those two guys can actually play, or whether those two guys were just, you know, just thrown to the wolves by Tom Brady, or cast aside, I should probably say, by Tom Brady. So I don't know if Cam Newton can get the most out of N'Keal Harry, whether the Jacoby Myers of the preseason can translate to Jacoby Myers of the regular season. That's what concerns me. is the wide receiver group last year, the tight end group. I know they drafted a couple of tight ends, but who the hell knows whether they can play
sure.
or not. I'm still concerned about what the weapons that Cam Newton has around him.
Yeah, that's definitely the number one issue for this team entering the season. The one thing I would look at in terms of Newton and the lack of weapons, if you will, is if you look back to his Carolina career, so he had Greg Olsen.
He didn't have a hell of a lot.
Yeah, Greg Olsen was his best weapon until McCaffrey came around. But he only had McCaffrey for basically 2 years. But
he was injured
yeah,
for one of them.
Yeah, and Olsen was somebody that he had way better numbers once he played with Cam. Career highs once he came over to play with Cam. And the receiving core, 1 year you had a guy, Corey Brown, known as Philly Brown. You had Ted Ginn, who was a deep threat,
yeah.
which the Patriots don't really have unless this Demir Byrd ends up working out. But some of the other receivers, Kelvin Benjamin ate himself out of the league, was not a very productive player. Devin Funchess was fine, but he's nobody that you'd point to and say, oh, this guy was an incredible player who everybody's lining up to sign. He's no longer with the team. They didn't sign him after his rookie contract. So in a weird way, Cam Newton is kind of used to this type of situation where he doesn't have a lot of weapons. And I almost feel like, too, with the threat of the run game, there's an easier way to scheme up open guys than there is with, say, Brady, when you don't have that element.
What exactly is the threat of the run game?
Well, just
what threat do you talk about?
Well, just the fact that you can't really have two deep safeties with the guy.
No, but who's the running threat?
Well, I'm talking about Cam Newton.
You're talking about Cam Newton.
Yeah, the fact that, you know, they do this RPO stuff all the time mm-hmm. in Carolina where he's faking the handoff. Is he going to throw the ball? And then all of a sudden he throws it right out, and Greg Olsen is all of a sudden wide open. It's like teams get so caught up in the element of the run. We saw it with the Patriots when they played a team like the Ravens with Jackson or Cam Newton in the past. Belichick has struggled with that type of player.
Is he that same type of player? Can he do that same type of thing that he did 3 or 4 years ago? Then it goes all the way back to the health thing. Do
right.
you want to run him? Do you want to use him the way that Carolina used him for so many years?
Greg, I think I would. You know what I would say? Squeeze as much juice out of him as possible because of the fact...
You may only have him for 1 year, so screw it.
He's on a one-year deal. You might as well get the best thing out of Cam Newton, which is his ability to run the football. So I'm all for... And look, I know the number is like since 2011, he's taken the most hits in the NFL. I understand that. But when I look at Newton, one of the things he may benefit from, and I know people have pointed to Gronk with this as well, is the fact that, okay, he hasn't played since week two of last season. I know Gronk got the entire year off, but Cam Newton basically got time to recover. And that foot injury that he's coming back from now, first of all, it was malpractice that the Panthers put him back on the football field right. last year. We saw him get injured against the Patriots. And secondarily to that point, we saw a quarterback in Matt Schaub have that same injury. The next year he has his best statistical season. And I know they're different players, but that Liz Frank foot injury back in the early 2000s and the 1990s, and you saw it more so in the NBA, that was this catastrophic injury that not a lot of people came back from. I remember when Durant had it, people were really concerned about him, and he came back from the foot injury, and he was pretty good. He's won two finals MVPs since that time. So I'm not as concerned with the foot injury as everybody else is. Now, I understand the point about will he put his body in harm's way. When I look at that, some of it is he takes these hits when he's in the pocket. Like, for some reason, for a guy that's that athletic, sometimes he hangs in the pocket too long. It's not when he's running the quarterback design runs. It's more so when he's just hanging out in the pocket and he doesn't get out of there.
Does he have the mental ability to save himself, to save his body? Because he's one of those kind of players that just beats the living crap out of his body, takes hits, is willing to take hits. Does he have it within him to not take those hits, to try and avoid some of those hits, to try not to be as aggressive as he has been when he was in his 20s?
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a question, and maybe that's something that McDaniels and Bill Belichick can get with him about. But at some point, you got to say, and this is part of the reason I believe Andrew Luck's no longer in the NFL, is he had this thought, like, I'm this big, strong quarterback. I see a linebacker. I'm not going to run out of bounds. I'm going to try to run over him. Hopefully, Cam Newton getting into his head that if he does want that new contract, I think that's part of it as well. It's a business deal for Cam Newton coming here so he can get his next contract, whether that's with the Patriots or whether that's with a different organization. And the only way he's going to get it, if he learns anything from last year, is if you're hurt, you're not going to get that contract. So part of it is not only proving he can play, but proving that he can actually stay on the football field, which is something the past couple of years that has definitely come up in terms of question marks. But in terms of the personality, this has been a big thing this week. I don't understand why people have such a big issue with his personality and whether or not he's going to coexist and fit into the Patriot way. I just don't buy into that. Like, it's going to be this huge problem for Cam Newton to fit into the way Belichick and McDaniels and everybody has run this organization. Do you see that as an issue?
I think there will be leeway. I think you've seen the chill bill over the last couple of years. I think that that's lesser of a question now than it would have been 3 or 4 years ago. You know? And I think you let Cam Newton be Cam Newton. You let him be who he is. Who gives a Gronk was half in the bag half the time when he was up in the podium. And when I say half in the bag, I mean he was goofy and being Gronk.
Right. Everyone loved that.
I don't give
touchdowns.
Wear the hat, wear the fancy suits, wear whatever you want to wear. Just go out there and throw touchdowns and run for touchdowns and make your football team better.
Well, the whole thing about the
Celtics, and the whole Superman. I don't care about that sort of stuff either.
The only time that would bother me is if, say, it's 31-14,
and I don't think he's got a history of that. I don't think he has a history.
No, I haven't noticed that whatsoever. And the other thing is, people talk about the personality. Only one teammate has complained about him. It's Kelvin Benjamin, who, like I said, was unprofessional, couldn't stay fit to be a football player, and he made a comment about him. Oh, look at what my numbers would be if I had a real quarterback. Well, it doesn't look like any of those real quarterbacks wanted him anyway.
Yeah, a real quarterback who was an MVP.
Yeah, I mean, serious. And by the way, like, Cam's best season came after Kelvin Benjamin got hurt. So I don't know if that...
What has Kelvin Benjamin done?
I don't believe he's in... I don't even know if he's in the league anymore.
He went to Buffalo, right?
He went to Buffalo because McDermott and Brandon Bean came from Buffalo, the head coach and the former executive there with the Carolina Panthers as well. But with the celebrations, you bring up Gronk. So first of all, Cam Newton, he does the Superman thing and he points to the first down. Rob Gronkowski pointed at a defender after he scored a touchdown and then spiked it, taunting the guy. Pointed a finger at him and laughed at him. And Julian Edelman, every time Julian Edelman gets a first down at Foxborough that's a big play, he takes the ball, he holds it out, and he drops it. So my whole thing about this is when Cam Newton and the Patriots are winning games at Foxborough, and he does a celebration after he runs for a first down. If we actually have fans in the stands, that's a whole different conversation. But everybody in Foxborough is going to embrace the player if he's doing that. So I don't understand where that issue comes in.
By the way, Kelvin Benjamin, in the 21 games that he played with Buffalo and Kansas City in 2 years, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So shut your mouth.
Yeah, well, he needed...
Shut your mouth. You're not that good.
Greg, he needed a real quarterback. I don't know what you're talking about.
Good point.
Yeah, so was that Kansas City year? He probably had Mahomes or
Alex. He had Mahomes in 18.
Yeah, so he had Pat Mahomes.
And he didn't have a touchdown.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes throwing you the football. Well, it was only 3 games. He had 2 catches, 26 yards, 0 touchdowns. He's been out of the league ever since. So I take what Kelvin Benjamin says with a massive amount of grain of salt.
I do, too. When guys like that say something, it would be one thing if an elite receiver in the NFL, or if Greg Olsen, who had really good numbers with him, if he said something about Cam, which he's been very complimentary, Cam, then I would have an issue with it. But I haven't heard anything bad from Ron Rivera, who spoke about him glowingly this week, talking about...
You got to expect that sort of stuff.
But at the same time...
I don't put a lot of stock in that, because the former... What is Ron Rivera going to come out and all of a sudden say, guy was injury prone, guy should have... dove on the football during the Super Bowl. He screwed us in the Super Bowl. He's not that hard of a worker. He's kind of a pain in the ass. You know, he's a me guy. So I take that with a grain of salt, too.
Yeah, that's fair. But I just, the issues that people have put out there, it just seems like they're issues that haven't really existed. But I get your point. Like, Ron Rivera is not going to go on a Chicago radio station and trash his ex-quarterback. It wouldn't be a good look for him. And I would also look at it, too, if he did feel negative about Cam or he had negative feelings towards Cam, my assumption would be he just wouldn't be doing interviews right now about him. Rod Chudzinski came on here, his former offensive coordinator, and he was talking about some of the stuff that Cam does off the field, et cetera. And apparently he's a good teammate and all that different type of stuff. But when you look at it in terms of Newton and the replacing of Brady, it feels like to me, in terms of somebody that could handle this from a star perspective, Newton's kind of that guy in terms of he's been an MVP, he's been to Super Bowls. The one question I would have in terms of, now he can fit Brady for the stature, but how is he going to be? Because one issue he has had is in press conference. I had a couple of bad press conferences up at the podium, right, where he once had the comments about a female reporter saying it's funny hearing a female reporter ask about routes. He didn't want to talk to the media after he lost the Super Bowl to the Denver Broncos. He was complaining during Super Bowl because he said he could hear them celebrating. He didn't like the, like, the location of where he was doing
it. What
does
that sound like?
Tom Brady?
No, well, a little bit, but yeah, but it also sounds like the head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, who's more of a pissant after a loss than Bill Belichick?
Yeah,
he's the absolute freaking worst. So, to me, it's annoying. I would like to see my superstars stand up there and say, we lost, here's what happened, blah, 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 blah. But it doesn't work that way. It's not how the human mind of some of these athletes ends up working. I kind of like the fact, I kind of enjoy the fact that if Cam Newton loses, he gets up there and he's a complete pud. I kind of like that because it shows that he cares. I don't want him up there going, hey, we lost. Well, get him next week. We'll try next week. I like that. I like that in him. I like that it bothers him as much as it does. And for anybody to bitch and moan and complain that Cam Newton would do something like that, if he does do that, look at your head coach. He does it after every single loss. Every single one.
Yeah, that's definitely true. That's a good counter, that Belichick is somebody that after not even just every game, every press conference that he has, he seems like he's pretty mopey. Unless you ask him a question about like some team from the 60s that he can talk like about the wishbone offense.
What do you think of the, what about your tight end, the Giants in 87? What do you think of, why can't I think of his names from around here?
Bavaro?
Mark Bavaro. Bill, Mark Bavaro, talk about it.
Yeah, then he'll go off forever. But if you ask him a question about the actual game, then he's going to be pissy about it. But I don't see the personality being as big of an issue as it seems like people have portrayed this week. The one element I do look at in terms of like the media stuff I was talking about is he is in more of a spotlight now, right? Because like in Carolina, he's the king of that organization. Now in 15, they got a lot of attention, but all that attention until the Super Bowl was positive because they were 15-1. They were blowing teams out. I mean, they were running over the entire NFL. And I wonder if things do go south at some point this season, how does Cam Newton react to that in terms of, all right, the offense looks crappy. You're in a position where you're hovering around 500. That's when I would be worried about the personality because you know that he's going to keep being asked questions.
Yeah, I wouldn't because if he becomes a problem, if you're 5-5, Brian, that means he's probably not playing all that great.
Yeah, and then you give it to the kid.
And then you give it to the kid. You give it to Stidham. And you say, okay, I'm not going to worry about Cam Newton being any sort of an issue or any sort of a problem with the franchise. We're not going anywhere. Let's let the kid play the rest of the season out and let Cam Newton move on somewhere else and maybe he can hook on with another team.
Yeah, and well, Greg, to that point, that's why I believe you can't go into the season. As long as Cam Newton, everything checks out healthy, I don't see there being any scenario where Jarrett Stidham's actually better than Cam Newton in training camp. I just can't see it in terms of just a pure talent thing. And when the players see Cam Newton come onto the field and they see Jarrett Stidham come onto the field, who they've seen for a year and a half, there's going to be a difference in terms of the way he throws the ball, the strength, just the physique of the player. So I don't believe you could go, all right, Jarrett Stidham, let's start you. And then Jarrett Stidham has two bad games and everybody is calling for Cam Newton. And the players are going to be looking at this like, what are we doing here?
Oh, unless Cam Newton's hurt or completely falls on his face, he's your starting quarterback.
Right. But I feel like you can only do it that way. Like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So if Newton doesn't play well, you give it to Stidham. That makes sense. But if you got to pull Stidham out, it just doesn't feel like a good way to go.
Well, I mean, isn't it obvious, too, though, that they bring in Cam Newton 4 days ago? Isn't it obvious that they look and they say, Stidham's not ready? Doesn't 1 + 1 = 2? Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
Why bring him in if you thought he was somewhere close to being ready?
Right. I believe that they're still relatively high on Stidham, but this perception, like the whole offseason that we were getting from the Patriots or that they were putting out through the media that they love Stidham or everything along those lines, I think that may have been a little hyperbolic. Now, I understand that it was a bargain basement deal that you got for Cam Newton, but if you really believed that Stidham was 100% your guy, even the bargain basement deal you don't make.
I also think, too, though, you look at Stidham and you say, this is such an unusual offseason. Why throw him to the wolves? If we're going to start Jarrett Stidham, if we think that he's somewhat close to being ready, Let's put them through a normal off-season routine, a normal off-season program. Let's put them through training camp. Let's put them through whatever, 2, 3, 4 preseason games. Maybe they look at it and they say, we can't, obviously, we're not able to do that this off-season, so let's give him another year of seasoning. Let's bring in Cam Newton and, hell, let's try and make a run for it, you know? Again, teams love guys. I love bringing in guys who are playing for a contract. 8 times, 9 times out of 10, those guys end up playing pretty well, and they end up playing for that contract.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. That's one thing I do really love about the deal is Newton's going to be incredibly motivated. All right, if you want to join us today, it's Brian Barrett and Greg Dickerson. The number to do so is 617-779-7937. Would you be more excited to watch Cam this year or if Tom Brady was still the quarterback? Plus, why this week was not good for Tom Brady. And we'll get you trending in just a second here on WEEI.
93.7 FM, WEEI.
I think Cam wants to be a starter. I think Cam feels that he's done enough in this league to get the opportunity to be the starter. Now, if Jarrett Stidham beats him out, which I'm still going to say Stidham's going to be the starter. I don't think Cam Newton will be on the football team.
What the hell is Scott Zoe like talking about here? I mean, we're talking about a healthy. Wait a minute, Greeny. Think about this. We're talking about a healthy Cam Newton. If Cam Newton is healthy, you mean to tell me a guy, Jarrett Stidham, who has thrown all of 4 passes, 1 for interception for a touchdown against your Jets, Greeny, is going to beat out Cam Newton? Man, listen, if that happens, I'm walking to Foxborough.
Now, who was that?
Damian Woody.
Damian Woody, okay. And I respect Damian Woody. I like Damian Woody. But Scott Zolak's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on down in Foxborough. So he tends to be right more than he is more than he's wrong. If they're both healthy and they both play well, it's a no-brainer. You end up starting Cam Newton. If there's any sort of injury or any sort of struggles with Cam Newton, I think even if Cam Newton struggles a little bit during the preseason, as long as he's healthy, you said it before, Brian, I think it's easier for you to be able to start Cam Newton if he doesn't play well after a couple of games, if there's injury problems, if there's just issues with the offense, picking up the offense, playing in the offense, it's so much easier to pull Cam Newton and stick in Jarrett Stidham than the other way around.
Yeah, it's Brian Barrett and Greg Dickerson with you. And to your point, when you look at Newton, I feel like there's been this misconception that he hasn't been good over the past couple of years. And that's why I just don't see him. If, like you said, if he's relatively healthy, even if, say, he's lost a little bit of his athleticism, if he's 85% of the Cam Newton we have known from the Carolina Panthers, I just don't see any way that a guy that was selected in the 4th round, and I get draft stock doesn't mean anything, but a guy in Jarrett Stidham, who Ryan Finley was drafted ahead of, I don't see any way that that guy can beat out Cam Newton. I just don't see how it's remotely possible that Newton will not beat him out. It's tough for me to comprehend your brain.
Why? Why is it? Because I can comprehend it. I can get it. We're talking about a guy who's got a couple of years of injury history. He's 31, which, as we know, is not old for a quarterback, but there are a lot of guys who get into their early 30s. That aren't Tom Brady, that aren't Drew Brees, sure, that aren't Philip Rivers, that, you know, they've just taken too much of a physical. Why is Tom Brady still playing in the NFL? What's the biggest reason he's playing at 43?
Pliability, man.
Because he's not taking hits.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he's really good at not taking hits. He's limited them. He's had the one big knee injury that he had back in 2008 with Cam Newton. I mean, these things can add up. So it wouldn't shock me. If I'm a betting man, and I am, I'm picking Cam Newton as a starting quarterback. But if Cam Newton can't make it through training camp, or if he gets cut in training camp, I'm not surprised. I've seen this thing happen way too many times down in Foxborough.
Well, I think there's a couple of things to that. If that does happen, is first of all, I would think that Cam Newton, to your point, would be damaged goods, and he's just not healthy. So if that's the case, I could totally understand why Stidham would win the job over him. But my point was, if we have even 85% to 88% of what Cam Newton was before in terms of the health, then I don't envision a scenario where Jarrett Stidham beats him out. Or unless they, what the Patriots are really putting out there is just 100% true. And this guy's like, oh, well, he would. Remember, there's this whole thing about, well, he would have been a first round pick if he went in this draft. Then that maybe that's true. But I just don't see that being the case. I watched him play at Auburn, and I get it. It was a while ago now. But I never looked at the guy and was like, oh, this guy is.
He's the thing.
Yeah, he's like incredible from a talent perspective. So when I just look at Newton walking onto the field and seeing what he was a couple of years ago, I just don't see that guy being beat out. And there's also been this perception. I know Ordway was mentioning it a couple days ago that he's sucked for the past 3 years. Well, in 18, before he went down with a shoulder injury that he had surgery on, and he played through it for like four games, he was actually really good in 2018. His team was averaging like 27 points per game. They started the season out 6-2. He was completing 67% of his passes. So that player was really good in 2018. That wasn't that long ago. It's not like we're talking about all the way back to his MVP season. In fact, from a passing perspective, he was having his best year in 2018.
Yeah, I'm looking at his numbers. Make sure I get the right one. Yeah, 2000. Looking at 2018. Come on, Greg. Figure this damn thing out. Yeah, schedules and scores.
It's 67% in terms of his completion percentage.
I'm trying to find game logs, but it doesn't have it. Oh, here we go.
Go to the passing top of the screen.
293, 439, 377, 350, 350, 371, 386. So,
and what year was that?
Oh, I'm looking at total yards. I'm a dink. That was 2018.
Yeah, well, that's my point. That wasn't that long ago. When he was last healthy and he was on a football field, the guy was incredibly productive. So I just don't envision a scenario where Stidham can beat that player out. Unless there's this thing that happens when he gets to training camp and we look at Stidham and we say, or we look at Cam Newton, and or Belichick and McDaniels look at Cam Newton and they say, well, yeah, he's actually really hurt. Like the injuries have really caught up to him. But I just don't see that being the case. I just don't see it happening to the point that Jarrett Stidham can win this job. And just from a pure team standpoint, think about what would happen if Newton shows up to training camp and Newton is by far the more talented guy and looks like the better guy. Mm-hmm. And then they go with Jarrett Stidham. That would go against everything that Bill Belichick's ever done as a coach, right? It doesn't matter where you're drafted or anything, right? Like Malcolm Butler, undrafted guy, is playing cornerback. So if he doesn't go with the better player, it would go against everything Belichick, even if he wants it to be Stidham, it would go against everything that Belichick has done. And do you think there's a part of this, Greg, too, that Belichick kind of knew where the market was going to be with Cam? Because there's,
of course, sure,
there's reporting that he's been in contact with him for months. So, and if you look at the teams that had a spot for Cam Newton, there wasn't that many, right? In terms of, now, I believe there should have been more, but if you start to think about it, Indy decided to go with Phillip Rivers because Frank Reich and Phillip Rivers previously worked together when the Chargers were in San Diego. The Bears went with Nick Foles, who, I don't get it. He's still the fourth best quarterback in your division. Even if he's better than Trubisky, he's the fourth best quarterback. The upside is higher with Newton. And
but Nick Foles is a safer choice. See, I don't mind that one. Nick Foles is a safer choice if you're the Chicago Bears and Cam Newton. And the thing with Newton, and Belichick played it well and had the ability to wait it out because he had a starting quarterback or potential starting quarterback in Jarrett Stidham. Because of COVID and everything that was going on,
great point,
you just could not do your due diligence with Cam Newton as teams are out there fighting and battling. For the teams that really needed a quarterback, they couldn't wait until June 29th to go out and get Cam Newton and get a quarterback. They had to go get one at the time. They had to go get one back in March, April, and May. So I think the Patriots had the ability to wait things out where the other teams didn't.
Yeah, and if you look at it too, there was also the part you mentioned, COVID, which factored in because they couldn't get him in their team facilities, some of these other organizations.
Right, to check him out.
So they couldn't check him out. And then you start to think about the fact that Newton made it abundantly clear that he didn't want to be a backup. Right, this wasn't a situation where he wanted to go in somewhere and be a backup. So all these other teams that had starters, like Pittsburgh, would be a perfect place because of the fact that their backups suck. But Ben wouldn't want that to happen. If Ben sees Cam Newton coming in, that's an issue. And secondarily, Cam didn't want to be the backup.
Look what Jameis Winston ended up doing. Jameis Winston probably could have found a starting job somewhere, but instead decided to become a backup down in New Orleans.
Right, so he decided to go the backup route. But because Cam had basically the idea that he wanted to be a starter, there wasn't a lot of destinations. So Bill had the ability to just completely wait this thing out and Cam Newton lands on his lap for virtually nothing. And as he's waiting, the market goes down, the price continues to go down, and he benefits more so than any team in the NFL because of that. And the other thing I would look at is, if you're a NFL owner right now, Greg, mm-hmm. and you saw the Patriots get Cam Newton for just a hair over $1 million, and I know there's incentives where he can make over $7 million, but if you're an NFL owner, are you asking your GM, like if you're the Colts that got Phillip Rivers, or if you're somebody that signed Teddy Bridgewater, if you're the Carolina Panthers owner, David Tepper, you like, are we sure we should have let Cam go and picked up Teddy Bridgewater? If the Patriots just got him for $1 million, if the Patriots are the team that got him, and we didn't even kick the tires on the guy, some of these other teams around the league, the Jaguars, would you be like, I don't know if that was a good idea for us not to look after Cam Newton?
Well, because I think what those teams can say is our hands were kind of tied. We, you know, we're talking about a guy with multiple injuries and a guy who's banged up. We couldn't do anything about it. We needed to make a decision now. We needed to find that quarterback at this particular time. We didn't have the wherewithal, the ability to wait 2 months like the Patriots did.
Yeah, it's fair. And to the point you mentioned about some of these other teams being invested in young quarterbacks. So, and I know Ordway mentioned this week, and there's been this idea of, well, hey, Ron Rivera.
You listen to a lot of Ordway, don't you?
Yeah, OMF. I like that show. I like
that's
I like
a good. No, it's a good show. Yeah. It's a good show. I would just warn against, you know, I would warn against trying to be too much like Glenn.
No.
Have an opinion.
Right. No. Well, this is my point. Well, he made the point that Ron Rivera didn't.
He actually made an opinion? Yeah. He didn't bounce back and forth? He didn't bounce back and forth?
It was an opinion.
The Panthers made a terrible choice. Like I said, they made a great choice getting rid of him.
It's pretty good. Well, he said that, well, if Ron Rivera didn't go after him in Washington, that should tell you what we should think of the quarterback, right? Because his old head coach didn't go after him. But what I was
No, that's stupid.
Right.
Glenn said that?
Yeah.
Glenn, you're a moron.
Well, if you look
who their quarterback is.
Well, that's
it's Haskins, who, by the way, is loved supposedly by the moron owner Daniel Snyder. Snyder wanted him in the draft, wanted him starting, wanted him playing last year. Ron Rivera had no friggin' come on, Glenn. You're smarter than that.
Well, and that's the point. Is like so. Ron Rivera, his to your point, when you look at Daniel Snyder, his kid went to high school with Dwayne Haskins.
Right.
So if you're Ron Rivera and you take that job, that's part of the job requirement. Like, hey, he's the starter.
This dude's yours. Yeah, like, you're starting him.
Like, this is the guy. Can you fix him? Or not fix him? He was a rookie last year, but can you get him up to par where he's looks like a franchise caliber quarterback? And so that's part of the job requirement. And a team like the Browns, who was apparently the only other team interested in Newton, well, there was an issue with him because they had Baker Mayfield. So if you bring in Cam Newton and he's sitting there with Baker Mayfield and Newton looks better, well, then you're going to have a mutiny on your hands in terms of the locker room, right, for a first-year head coach in Kevin Stefanski. So I feel like there just wasn't a ton of options for Cam Newton. So it wasn't like all these teams passed on him. It was just they were in situations where they felt better about where they were than maybe I would have. Like, if I was the Chargers, I personally didn't like Herbert, the kid coming out of Oregon, and I feel like that's a good roster in terms of just pure talent. I would have kicked the tires on Cam Newton.
Yeah, but if you're the San Diego Chargers, you want to start anew, do you want to take a risk? Again, it all goes back to these teams didn't have the ability to do their due diligence medically with Cam Newton back in March and April.
Yeah, so I guess in a weird way, the coronavirus pandemic actually helped out the Patriots.
It worked out for the Patriots. It may get them another Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, that happens often around here, that things work out well for the Patriots. All right, a lot more to get into if you want to join us, 617-779.
Yeah, would you be more interested in seeing Cam Newton as your starting quarterback week one or Tom Brady? What would get you more excited for this coming season? I'm all about Cam Newton. Not that I'm Tom Brady'd out, not that I wouldn't have loved to have seen Tom Brady, but the storyline with bringing in a Cam Newton and why, I mean, it's the new factor. It's the unknown factor. We kind of know what we have or what we had in Tom Brady, but the unknown with a Cam Newton is what attracts me to the story so much.
All right, and that number is 617-779-7937. Plus, we'll get to why it was a bad week for Brady. Brian Barrett, Greg Dickerson with you on your 4th of July right here on WEI.
WEI 93.7 FM.
He's in a completely different environment, a completely different situation, and his talents, if he's healthy, which I think he is, it's going to rise. And he's in the right framework too, AD. I mean, he's in the right frame of mind to dominate. He wants to prove to all these people, how stupid are you? Ryan Pace, pay attention. You're a dumb f***. You know, David Blaine Caldwell, you're really a dumbass, you know, because if you don't sign me, you know, Anthony Lynn, Tom Telesco, you stay with Tyrod Taylor and you don't sign me. Huh? Seriously? I mean, it's really comical.
Man,
I don't think it's comical. Again, look at the situation that we're in this world. Go back 2 or 3 months ago. Look at all the questions there are no questions about Cam Newton's talent. There were questions about Cam Newton's physical ability. Nobody had the chance, or it was very difficult to be able to just, you know, dig and pick and poke and prod at the body of Cam Newton a couple of months ago. I don't blame these teams necessarily. There were way too many questions and way too many hoops to jump through.
Well, the other thing I'd say with Mike Lombardi is, I wonder how many of these executives around the league really like the guy now.
What has Mike Lombardi ever done besides kiss the ass of Bill Belichick? Who is Mike Lombardi?
When he went to
I love the podcast. It's fun.
Yeah, he's entertaining.
It's entertaining. I'll give him that. It's very entertaining. He knows his football, but still, to quote Bill Belichick, kinda, you know, how many things has he gotten wrong?
Yeah, well, he also said in his podcast one time that Andy Reid would learn a lot from reading his book in terms of coaching in the NFL. I think he's done okay for himself in Kansas City, just won a Super Bowl. He's been a really good coach for an extended period of time. But just to the point where now the Patriots have Newton in the division, one of the other teams that I would have thought would at least reach out to Cam and see where he's at is the Buffalo Bills. But they're apparently all in with Josh Allen.
Why would you do that?
I feel like they...
Why?
Because I don't think he's good. I think they should have learned from the Bears.
They just signed him 2 years ago. He had a pretty good year last year.
Well, I mean...
Well, they drafted him two years ago.
Yeah.
He had a pretty good year last year. If you're the Buffalo Bills, you're all in. They like Josh Allen. You're all... Why would you... If you're the Buffalo Bills, why would you take a risk on a Cam Newton when you've got a pretty good young quarterback in Josh Allen?
Well, I guess that's where he differs. I don't think he's good. I just think Josh Allen's one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
And You're not alone.
Yeah, I feel like that's a Super Bowl-ready team with the rest of the roster, and you put a good quarterback in there, okay, it's a totally different scenario. I look at him last year, the guy's dead last in the NFL in completion percentage. Out of 34 qualified candidates, he's 32nd in passing yards per game.
Get stats. Did you watch him last year?
Yes, I watched him.
I thought he was decent last year.
I don't see what he does well besides, okay, he can run a little bit. Other than that,
He's got a ridiculous arm,
right,
whether that can be harnessed or not.
Well, yeah, the problem is it's like a pitcher in Major League Baseball. He can throw 100, but he can't throw it to anybody.
Well, he must have done something right last year. They went to... He took the team to the playoffs for the first time in 77 years.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You're ready to dump all over Josh Allen and move on to what we've all sat here for the last 45 minutes and said is a question mark Cam Newton.
Right. Well, look, Cam Newton wanted a starting spot. The Bills were not going to guarantee him that. Right. And you knew that Josh Allen was going to be your guy in Buffalo because they're committed to the player. I'm just saying, if it were me, I would not be as sensitive to these quarterbacks and their situations. Like, don't you think the Bears, in some respect last year, after they went 12-4, they had the number one defense in the NFL, dominant defense 2 years ago. And they convinced themselves that, okay, because we took Trubisky over Mahomes and Watson, he's our guy because we went 12-4. Mm. They trot him out there last year. The defense is still really good, but they take a little bit of a step back. And we find out that Trubisky really sucks. Like, this wasn't just one of these things where we looked at the numbers. They weren't good. He really isn't good. And they found out he wasn't good. You missed out on the playoffs. Now this year you go after Foles. I feel like this same situation could play itself out in Buffalo when you have a roster right now that's ready to win. And we looked at it last year, Tennessee, right? Marcus Mariota looked like maybe he isn't that good. They bring in Tannehill, and Tannehill ends up taking the job, and they go all the way to the AFC Championship game. I just feel like the Bills are going to be in the same situation with their quarterback, where after this year, they're going to be doing what the Bears did with Mitchell Trubisky, where they're looking to move on from the player. Because I just don't look at anything that guy does on a football field and say, okay, he does that well. Besides, okay, he's athletic. But you can say that about a lot of guys.
But he took his team to the playoffs. Mitch Trubisky didn't. If you watch both quarterbacks last year, neither one's perfect.
But Mitchell Trubisky did in 18. He got to the playoffs in 18. Last year, he didn't. I'm saying with Allen, did they make the playoffs because of Allen, or
did they make it because of the rest of the roster? Team?
That would be my contention with Allen, and that's why I thought, like, okay, because they were familiar with Cam, McDermott, and Bean, maybe they would have said,
I like Josh Allen. I thought I saw a significant uptick in his play from his rookie year to his second year last year. I think he's got leadership capabilities and qualities. I don't think Mitchell Trubisky has that whatsoever. It made all the sense in the world for the Bears to do what they did. And you just said it. It's a non-starter anyway, because Cam Newton wants to start, and there's no way in hell. Here's the other thing. If you're the Buffalo Bills, why are you bringing in this brand new guy with all these question marks when you've already got something that may not be perfect, but has been improving, is liked by his teammates, is a decent quarterback? Why would you get rid of that for the unknown?
Well, I just feel like the Bills are going to regret not doing something after Allen, because there were opportunities with other quarterbacks too. Say maybe take a flyer on Winston or
Jameis. You want to take a flyer on Jameis Winston over Winston, who had 743 interceptions last year? I may be off by two or three, but I think it was 743.
Right, but I'm saying I don't see anything that Josh Allen has proven to me that says he's without question the starting quarterback for that team for the foreseeable future.
And Jameis Winston does?
I'm just throwing out names. Nick Foles, Philip Rivers, Rivers is out of the equation because he wanted to be a starter as well. But I'm just saying now if Allen doesn't work out, you got nobody to go to. Mm-hmm. Who's their backup? Matt Barkley, Jake Fromm?
You said that about most teams.
But look at Tennessee last year, right? You went out and you invested in the backup quarterback position. My thing is, if you don't have a solid quarterback that you know is your starter for sure, mm-hmm. right? I'm not advocating for Kansas City to do this or Baltimore to do this, but teams that aren't sure about their quarterback, and maybe they just away.
So I think they're sure.
They might. Yeah,
I think that's the difference, well, Brian. I think they're sure.
That's probably the disconnect between me and them, is they think the quarterback's significantly better than I do, and they're betting everything on Josh Allen. But if I didn't have that sure franchise guy, I would invest in the backup quarterback position, because we've seen at certain times in this league, it can be pivotal, like with Tennessee last year in terms of Tannehill coming in for Mariota. So I just believe that now the Patriots have the best quarterback in the division, and the Bills were supposed to be the favorites, and now I don't think they're going to be maybe they'll be competitive, but I don't see them winning the division now, because now the Patriots have the best quarterback in the division. I don't even think Allen's the second best guy.
See, I still don't know if they have the best quarterback. I think on paper they do, based on past history, but there's still a lot of question marks about Cam Newton. I'm not willing to call or getting ready to call Cam Newton the best quarterback in that division. Based on his history, yes, but right now, not necessarily.
Who would you have right now? So just excluding Cam Newton from the conversation, who would you have as the best
quarterback? Sam Darnold.
Darnold?
Yeah, I love Sam Darnold. I just think he has been in an absolute bleep show in New York, and I think it's hurt his development as a quarterback. But if the Jets could get things together, the Knicks could get things together.
They're pretty similar.
They're very.
That's why you get confused.
Well, you know what? I'm still going to go with the Knicks being a little more dysfunctional than the Jets.
Yeah.
At least the Jets have a Sam Darnold that they can hang there to be the best quarterback in the division.
Yeah, I would say right now, after Newton, who I've said is the best quarterback in the division in my mind, I would go with Fitzpatrick right now as the second best quarterback.
Yeah.
In the division. He came in here last year, and he's had moments where like 5-6 weeks he's played really well. Remember in Tampa a couple of years ago, he was lighting it up.
Fitzmagic.
Yeah, Fitzmagic. So in terms of proving himself, but yeah, I'm with you on Darnold. I don't know how to read what that guy's done so far, because he's had no line. He's had no weapons. His best weapon last year, Rodney Anderson, they let the guy go.
He has maybe, and this is saying something, based on the coaches in the NFL, he might have the worst head coach in the entire National Football League in Adam Gase.
Yeah, I mean, he's a failure in Miami. You took him over there, and then we found out that he doesn't like Le'Veon Bell. The guy doesn't sleep. He's taking smelling salts before games. Probably not a good
weird thing. Weird-ass eyes.
Yeah, so, but my prediction with Allen and the Bills, just to get back to that for a second, is I'm predicting that at the end of the season, they're gonna be thinking about what the Bears were last year, moving on from the player. Let's get to Nick in Weymouth. Nick, what's up, man?
Two quick things. I wasn't planning on saying anything about Allen, but I will. But first, Cam Newton, if he gets anywhere near the kind of time that Tom Brady traditionally has gotten the last couple of years, and if he can throw, he will be successful. As for Allen, I like him a lot, but he doesn't seem to learn and retain certain things. okay? He'll make the same mistake twice in a game. He'll make the same mistake that hurt him the week before and do it again next week. Maybe he'll get over that, but that's the one thing I don't like about him. That's it.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate
it. All right.
It.
Good stuff, Nick. What was the first part? If he can get what that Brady has? I couldn't make
the time.
That up. Oh, the time in the pot. Well, last year he didn't have it, but in 2018, obviously they had one of the better lines in the NFL. But
and they're poised to have one of the better lines again if they are healthy.
Yeah, if they're healthy, they should be should bounce back. And even if they're not going to be 2018, but they have to be a massive improvement over 19 when they had Marshall Newhouse in there for half the games at left tackle. That was an absolute turnstile. It's one of the worst left tackles I've ever seen in the NFL. All right, a lot more to get into. Brian Barrett, Greg Dickerson with you up until 1 o'clock. The number is 617-779-7937. Are you more excited to see Cam Newton this year, or would you be more excited to see Brady back with the Patriots? Plus, why this was not a great week for Tom Brady. You're listening to WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.